So we're going to take a pause on Ephesians, as Josh will let him finish that when he comes back. But I just want to pose the question this morning. Have you ever been in a situation where you've, probably a desperate one, depending on context, I guess, and you've cried out to God in prayer, and you said, God, if you can just get me out of this one thing, I'll do this for you. Fill in the blank. Right? We've all probably made a declaration like that at one time or another. Maybe even before we knew who God was, really. You made a call like that. It's natural for us to do. Maybe you're in grade school and you say, Lord, you happen to not study for a test. You say, Lord, if you can just help me to pass this test, I'll pray to you every day. I'll never forget about you. You know, maybe it's if you go to a job interview, Lord, if you can just give me this job at this place, Lord, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll worship you. I'll praise you. I won't forget you. Maybe it's more serious than that. Maybe, you know, back in the day before we had GPS on all the cars and all the phones, boy, you could really get yourself lost out there if you didn't have an atlas or something in the car to go on. Lord, if you could just get me home from this, I don't know where I am, or the car broke down. Some kind of crisis, right? We make those calls out to God, and sometimes we try to make a deal with him. Lord, if you can get me out of this, I'll follow you. I'll do this, fill in the blank. Sometimes it's even more serious, right? If you can break this addiction from me, if you can stop me from drinking, from doing these drugs, I'll do this for you. We've all been in those places in different ways, in different scenarios. And it's not a bad thing. God wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to make a plea, but he's probably not too much about making deals. His love is unconditional, right? You don't have to make a deal with him. He'd like you to do all those things, but we know it's got to be from his strength, right? And this is Pastor Don's testimony, right? If you ever heard him share it sometime, he cries out in a prison cell. God, if you can get me out of here, I'll serve you. But that was from a genuine place of faith. Sometimes our pleas aren't from a genuine place of faith like that. Sometimes they're just trying to get the end result, right? We want to get the benefit for whatever we're trying to ask for. Jesus even does this to a degree right in the garden. Before he's about to be sacrificed on the cross, he's like, Father, if you could take this cup from me, if there's any way out of this, any way that I don't have to face this cross, that'd be cool if you can get me out of this. But then how does he end it, right? Not your will, Father. I'm sorry, not my will, but your will be done. And so he quickly changes his tune. So there's another way this happens too. Maybe we hear so many great messages at this church. We're blessed to have Pastor Josh, Pastor Don. We have all the guest speakers that come through, Pastor Andy, Dr. Leon. I'm sure he'll be here soon. And sometimes you hear a great message. And then during the sermon, while it's happening, you're like, you know what? I'm going to do what he's saying. I'm going to do what this word says. You're inspired. You're passionate because it's brought with inspiration. And you know what? I'm going to make a change today. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to do something differently. And maybe that lasts for a couple weeks, right? You're able to go about that and you make that change for a couple weeks. But more than likely, if you're doing it with your own strength, out of your own will, it's probably going to die out after not too long. And it's probably going to revert back to your own way of life. When it's just an emotional response like that, it often fades away fairly quickly because your will gets tired, doesn't it? But his will doesn't get tired when you do it from his. And so I heard I listened in the car on my way to work. I've got about an hour drive, so I spend time in the Word in the sense I don't have my Bible or my device. Well, I'm not reading on the dashboard, thankfully, for all the other drivers that are around me, but I have the audio version that comes through. And so I heard this passage come through in the Old Testament in Judges 11, and it so struck me. I was like, did I just hear what I just heard? You ever do that? Or you ever read something? You're like, did I just read that right? Or you heard it? I have to go back to that. I did a rewind. I'm like, I got to hear that again. Did I miss something? Did I hear that right? And so this is a story about Jephthah. Anybody do a study on Jephthah lately? In Judges 11, probably not. It's kind of an obscure reference. But I think his story is a powerful one. So this is from Judges 11. And Jephthah makes a kind of unique plea and a deal with God. He makes a vow, so to speak. So it's important to note, just for a minute before I get into it, that Jephthah is one of the judges during this time. He's a warrior. And he wants to fight the Ammonites because they've taken over some land that Jephthah and Israel believe that is theirs. And he can't talk them out of it. He can't get them to agree to give it back. So he makes this cry out to God in Judges 11:29. It says this: Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he advanced toward the people of Ammon. Verse 30, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Huh. Interesting statement. Did you get that? He's asking the Lord to give him help so he can be victorious over the Ammonites. And he say, if you can do that for me, when I get home, whomever or whatever runs out the door to meet me, he will surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Seems like a dangerous thing to say to the God. Verse 32. So Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he defeated them from Aroer as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and to Abel-Karamin with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Verse 34. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back. That's the part I had to rewind and go back to that and revisit that scripture, because it seems like a strange thing to promise God and to make a vow about. And when I first read this, I'm like, wow, this Jephthah, the same day we actually had home group at my house and we discussed this. I hadn't done much study on it, and we kind of all agreed, but Jephthah really missed it on this one. He made this vow to God, and he's going to offer up his daughter now because she's the first one that ran out of his house. And we're going through the scenarios as a life group. Maybe the guy had a cat that he really didn't care for, and he thought, you know what, that whenever I get home, that cat always is the first one to run out, and I'm going to find a way to take care of that thing. Anybody have a cat like that? I got my wife a cat before we had children, and to kind of, you know, fulfill that need for a small period early on in our marriage. And now the cat is just really kind of annoying. The way, you know, most cats will maybe meow and just knock on the door when they want to decide that they want to come in. This is very much an outdoor cat. But when she decides, as Kiana can testify, she's taken care of her a few times we've been away. The cat, when she decides that she wants to come in, literally hangs from the screen of a window. If you've been to my house, it freaks people out when they see her on the back screen just hanging there from the window. But that is her sign that it's time to come in and eat something. And so maybe Jephthah had a cat like that. If we have a car door open, the thing constantly just goes in the car. You lose her for a while, hangs out all night. Summertime, this cat is out all night, comes in the morning. And maybe it was a dog that was annoying. I don't know. But then I think about it again, and when I come home from work, I know who's going to come out of the house first. The kids always come out first. They can hear the car come in. They're at the door. It says that she came out. She was excited to see her father. He came back from war, right? She came out. It even says that she came out dancing. She was excited to see her father who came back. And so we're discussing at Life Group, you know, how he really missed it on this vow. I'm thinking, you know, maybe where's this guy's wife in all this? Did he not run this scenario by his wife? You know, even maybe he probably made the promise just between him and God, but when he got home and saw who came out, you would think that maybe he'd talk to the wife first and say, hey, you know what? I kind of made this vow between God, and what do you think about this? Before he goes and takes the daughter. Because I know that a spouse brings good counsel, don't they? It can often be good to have a spouse run things. You can run by things a spouse for a reality check, right? Dave Ramsey talks about, we've done his course a few times, we'll probably do it again once enough people ask about it, Financial Peace University. There's a point there where he talks about how important the counsel is between husband and wife. And he makes a statement that whenever he hasn't run an idea by his wife or a purchase by his wife or a new business idea by his wife first, it's cost him like $10,000. Because when there's something discerning about the spirit of a spouse that can bring correction or to say, yeah, that's right or that's wrong. And This maybe she was deceased already in the story. I'm not sure. Maybe she just wasn't around. Maybe he just didn't include her in this decision. And I often have a lot of business ideas that I keep a little note here in my phone or iPad, and I'll kind of think about them before I ask my wife about them, just to kind of self-edit what might be a good idea, what might not be a good idea. And when I finally do run one by her, she'll be very frank and honest, you know, and that's not good. That's not a good idea. That's not going to work. But then the ones that she says yes to, I really take heed to that and listen to that, because if she thinks it's a good idea, then it most likely is, right? And so the last part we kind of thought about was maybe he should have checked in with his pastor before he made this decision, right? Maybe seek some more wise counsel, if nothing else. You know, sometimes as pastors, maybe our phone doesn't ring enough before important decisions are made by people. You know, there could have been some word brought to this. God is clearly not against, he's clearly against child sacrifice. What about the Ten Commandments? Somebody might have said, how about that? And so as after Life Group, as I'm going back through this and studying it more, I see that his name, if you do a name search for him in the Bible, his name is mentioned in Hebrews 11. And I'm thinking, how is that? Hebrews 11 is where it mentions the fathers of faith. Moses, Abraham, all those guys are in there. I have it. Hebrews 11, 32. Verse 32 says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me not to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises. How is it that he's mentioned there then? If God is considering him one of the fathers of our faith, and he's mentioned among those other people that we know of pretty well, his name is just his drop there. And so I go back through and I study some more, and pretty much most people agree that he didn't actually kill her. Instead, he dedicated her life, he consecrated her to a life of service to God, that she would serve the rest of her life working in the tabernacle, that he was a judge, so clearly he knows the word, he knows what's right and wrong. It's highly unlikely that he actually sacrificed her and killed her. But what's more likely, and pretty much scholars believe, that she spent the rest of her life serving at the tabernacle and worshiping God and serving those people. You know, think of like a modern day monk or nun at a monastery. I mean, that kind of sense. And it goes on to talk about that she was going to live, she was never going to marry, she was never going to have children. And so the word talks about the shame that he felt and the trouble that it says that he's troubled. And it's believed that trouble comes not because he was going to have to kill her, but because he had to uphold the vow that he gave. He can't go back on it. And especially in the Old Testament days, vows were so important to the Jewish people. If you'd said something like that, you could not go back on what you said. You could not undo what you've done, because God was very clear about he still is, right? New Testament, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so there's also the thought that in that time, family is so important, as it is more so than it is today, and heritage and your legacy. And he wasn't going to have a line of grandchildren to have. And he was realizing that was the trouble that he was going to have. And that was why he was sad and just probably a bit depressed about the whole thing. And so the other thing we had talked about our life group is that at the initial reading of this story, it didn't feel like a God idea. It felt like a Jephthah idea. You ever have one of those where you go down the road on something and you think, this is really going to work, this is going to be great, and then it turns out not to be, because you realize later on that this was a Chris idea and not a God idea. He really wasn't in it at all. But we've got to make sure that God's in everything that he's doing. And so I went back through, though. You know, I think this was a God idea. At the same time, it wasn't an Abraham and Isaac situation, right? God didn't tell him, he didn't explicitly tell him, hey, make this vow to me. But I think it was God inspired. Because it says in verse 29, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. So what had happened was that he had tried to negotiate with these Ammonites about getting the land back. And this wasn't happening. And he says, even says at the end of, I think in verse 28, that the Lord is going to decide then whose land it is. I'm going to take this to the Lord and he's going to fight with us. And so Jephthah, and I think why he's mentioned in Hebrews 11 is because he's actually putting out his faith. There's no way that they could have won these battles without God behind them. From what I understand, if you read about the army that they fought, they were very strong. And the way that they won, it says that they defeated them, and that there were 20 cities. So I'm thinking they defeated basically 20 different armies if it was 20 cities. And it says with their very great slaughter. So it wasn't like they just squeaked out a win. They really won. They really beat these people down, and they won an incredible victory. Without God, they wouldn't have been able to do. And so he had actually put his faith out in incredible ways. He said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but if you can do this for me, I'll dedicate my daughter to a life of service. Now, maybe the daughter would have thought, hey, why don't you dedicate your life to a life of service instead of putting out, mentioning someone else. I'm not sure why he did that. We can ask him when we get to eternity. But he does it nonetheless. And there's faith in that, right? God wants us to ask him for help, especially in situations where we know that there's no way that anybody else can do this for us but him. That's faith. If you don't need him to make it happen, then there's not much faith behind it, right? That's just us doing what we can do. And going back to wills and being inspired by different things that we hear, we read, doing things out of our own strength. At the end of the day, it'll last you a few weeks, maybe it'll even last you 6 months, 8 months, a year, maybe if you're really strong, if you're really disciplined. But there's a strength that comes from him, the strength that he tapped into in these battles that he knew was available and that he could rest his confidence in. Come on, folks, we got to put our confidence in where he is and not where we are. It's not about what we can do. It's about what he can do. And he wants us to cry out to him in these situations, but I don't think in present day he wants us to really make vows, right? Someone mentioned this before in our life group, Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. There's a title of a whole section that says Jesus forbids oaths in verse 33 of Matthew 5. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. That's why he held up what he had to do, right? It says that. In the days of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of a great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than that is from the evil one. What's Jesus saying there? These are his words. Don't make vows. Don't make promises like that are just out of your own strength. Just keep it simple. I love you unconditionally. I love you no matter what. I want you to be, he wants us to be a part of his life. He wants us to pray to him. He wants us to worship. He wants us to praise. He wants us to be a part of life. He wants us to be in the word. But that only come when we have an understanding of his grace and his mercy and his sacrifice for us, right? It doesn't come just because we think it's a good idea that we came into our head. But when revelation comes, when true understanding of who Jesus Christ is, then all these things will fall into place and things become incredibly more simple and just clear. Jesus is just saying, don't make vows. Come on, folks. How many know that he loves you so much? We've only scratched the surface of his love for us. We've only just seen. How many know that maybe when you made those vows, you made those promises, that he did get you out of those situations? We've all been in things where we know that we probably shouldn't be here today. There's been one swift turn, think about how fickle life can be. One quick turn of the car or misturn of a car, or if you happen to cut your body in the right place or you get hit in the wrong place, life can be so fickle, it can be so sensitive, but at the same time, it's also so resilient. Look at our friend from Sweet Bread Ministries, Bruce Carlson. What an example of a resilient life. But at the same time, it can also go the other way. Jesus just wants us to be in relationship with him. I don't think he wants these he'll work. If your faith is behind one of these 911 calls that you make, because that's essentially what this was, so to speak, maybe the ones that we've made, not so much Jephthah's call. I think that was a quiet just prayer to God that he made. But sometimes when we're in these crisis situations, we make these crazy statements, and we're like, God, if you can just help me out of this thing. But in the meantime, we haven't been in a relationship with the rest. We're just calling him with the bad stuff. We're just calling him with the things that we need out of all of a sudden, because we know that we've got ourselves into a situation. And he wants a relationship with us. Does anybody have a relationship with the 911 dispatcher? I hope not. Otherwise, you're probably going to get soon locked up for making a bunch of nonsense calls or something like that. I don't know anybody that has a relationship unless you've called a bunch of times. They recognize your number and they say, oh, hey, Chris, it's you again. What's going on today? Okay, we'll send somebody when we can. One of those, like, crying wolf type situations, right? But they don't do that, fortunately. They send people flying no matter what. But that's not, nobody has a close relationship unless they happen to be in your family with a dispatcher like that for making calls. It's just maybe a couple times, thankfully, in a lifetime situation that you're on the phone with them. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want you just calling him a few times in life when things get real bad and all of a sudden you think that you can't handle this anymore and it's only him that can do it. He wants to be a part of everything. He wants to be a part of every situation. He wants to be in the details of life, right? He doesn't want to be stuck to the crisis situations. He wants to be a part of every day. He loves us so much. That's why he does. I mean, think if you were to make our relationship with God is often compared to marriage, right? If you were to make a vow like this to your spouse, how well is that going to go? How well is that going to be received? It's an if this, then that, I get this. 50-50, those compromises don't usually work. If you'll take out the trash, then fill in the blank, I'll do the dishes. Maybe that stuff can work. But if you take out the garbage, then we'll work on getting a new house, something like that. You know what? Relationships don't work that way. If you haven't listened to Elaine Orban's message a few weeks ago, listen to that in the podcast. It's 100-100. There's no compromise. Love is a one-way street, right? And so God just wants us to be in his presence. He wants us to live a life where we talk to him, where we're in communication with him. And, you know, practically, how is it that we can be not in this 911 situation where we can just be constantly, we're called to be in constant conversation with him, aren't we? Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that you woke up this morning. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that we're alive, that we took another breath. Because frankly, there's people that aren't. And listen, in a church this size, as we continue to grow, there's always going to be someone's related to somebody or family or friend of someone in this church that's going to be in a crisis situation. That's just the nature of a church with 300 plus people now. There's always going to be something going on. But when we're in fellowship with him, he knows our thoughts, he knows our prayers, he knows what's going on in our lives, and we can just speak to him in a confident and a faithful way. He's faithful to respond to us. He hears our prayers, doesn't he? We're not praying to a God who's dead, but who's alive, who loves us, who gave everything for us. And he just loves us so much, doesn't he? Just thankful for the worship this morning. I love that Do It Again song. I was just playing that over and over again on repeat from many months ago, and I didn't. Once in a while, I might make a mention to the worship team, hey, you guys should think about this one. But I didn't mention that one at all. It just came naturally, thank God. And I feel like it's a faith builder, isn't it? That you can just think of all the situations that he's taken us from, but the most important one being eternal life, right? He's given us an eternal life. And when that's reminded of the greatest gift, the greatest miracle that he can give to us, there's nothing that's not possible, is there? There's nothing that's outside of his power, outside of his strength. And when we understand and just think back on all things that he's worked out for us, we're just faithful to believe that he's going to do it again, can he? He's just, as we talked about, healing broken hearts. He's done it before, he'll do it again. His promise still stands, doesn't it? Nothing has changed. Thank God that God doesn't change his word, right? How many times do we change our word? Do we make mistakes? Do we mess up? Ever tell a child that you're going to do something and then you happen not to do it that same day or that same minute? My son is... I found this Power Rangers suit for him at Party City for like $5. You know, they're getting rid of all the old costume stuff from last year, and they're putting out the new stuff, so they had some deep discounts on different things. So there's this red Power Rangers outfit that happened to be the right size for him. So $5, I just picked it up. You can wear it to the trunk or treat. How much time is time flying that the trunk or treat is going to happen in, what, less than a month? Well, about a month now. Awesome. And so I picked this up, and of course I get it back in the car, and I notice, of course, it's $5 because it's missing the mask that goes with the thing. And obviously he quickly notices that the mask is gone. Where's the mask? Where's the mask? I'm like, all right, don't worry about it. When it comes time before Halloween, we're going to order you the mask. And from, you know, that day on, it's now every day. Are we gonna order the mask now? Is it gonna, or before we got home, he asked if it was there yet, because Amazon is so quick now. He thinks that if I just think about it, it's gonna be there when he gets home. And I still haven't got to that yet, bud, but I will. We'll make sure you get it before Halloween. And God's word is his word. It doesn't change. He is the word. The word was God, right? And it's the foundation that we just stuck our lives on. And so just get in the word, folks. That's how we know his promises. That's how we're not making 911 calls to him and just crying out. You're just in constant fellowship when you read his word. You'll find amazing accounts like this that you can study. You can just say, did I hear that right? Did he really do that? Is there something more to this? He's mentioned again now in Hebrews 11 with the fathers of faith. Why is that? And you just find out that there's so much to this. There's so much goodness found in here. There's so much truth that's applicable for 2018. It hasn't dried out. It hasn't become old news. It's new every morning, isn't it? It's just refreshing, and it's just amazing to find different things in here. Folks, why don't we just stand this morning? We want to leave some time at the end to be able to just pray, to agree with you, to believe with you. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Father, and it just splits truth, Father, from just lies, Father. And we just love your word so much, Lord. It's just what we base the foundation of our lives upon. Father, we thank you that you've given us this manual, Lord, to live life, and that, Lord, it's applicable to our situation here in 2018. It's applicable to us now as believers, as a church, Father. Father, we just want to be a people who follow you with our whole heart, Father, with our whole strength, Lord, with our whole lives, Father, holding nothing back, Lord. Clearly, Lord Jesus, you held nothing back from us than your son, Jesus. And Father, we want to be a people who just pour out, Father, everything that we have, everything that you've given to us, Father. We just want to be a people who just bless you, Father, who just honor who you are. Father, help us to just, Lord, not make promises we can't fulfill, not make vows, Lord, with our own strength, Lord, but just be able to follow you, Father, with a revelation, Lord, of who you are. True understanding, Father, true wisdom, true knowledge, Lord Jesus, of who you are. Lord, let us have an understanding. Lord, I pray that downloads would just be coming, Lord, this week, Lord Jesus, of who you are. That new things would be found in your word. Maybe if someone's read something, the same thing over and over again 50 times, Lord, but the 51st, would there be something different, Lord Jesus? Something would change all of a sudden. Something would be new on the page that would just jump forth into our spirits, Lord Jesus, and just we'd have an understanding. Lord, we know we can go to our church our whole life and truly not know who you are, not understand, Lord. You've talked about that in your word. Lord, those guys who did healings, who did miracles in your name, Lord, but you said to them, depart from me, I hardly knew you, Lord. We don't want that to be what you would say to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to truly know who you are. We would increase our faith, Lord, this morning. Increase our faith, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that you're behind us, that you're for us, you're not against us. Lord, that you love us, you're not angry with us. But you sent your son, Lord, for each every one of us. Father, let us just understand, Lord, truly what that means, Lord, that you sent your son, Lord, for us. You held nothing back from us, Lord Jesus. What an incredible sacrifice, Lord. Lord, Father, we say yes to you this morning. We say yes to your word, to your promises, Lord Jesus. Father, we know that you first loved us, Lord Jesus. We love you back, Lord Jesus. Let our yes be yes, Lord, and our no be no, Lord. Let's keep things simple, Lord Jesus. Let's not make things complicated, Lord. The gospel is one that is simple. That all we have to do, Lord Jesus, is just Once faith comes, Father, just say yes to you. Let your son die for us, Lord, and we just confess that this morning, Lord. We say yes to you. Just say yes to him this morning. Yes, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. There's no one else that's like you, Lord Jesus. No one's done, Lord, what you could have done for each and every one of us. There's no one coming after you. There's no one that's come before you. We're not waiting for anybody else, Lord. It's always you. It's always been you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. You're so good, Jesus. Your promise still stands, Lord Jesus, this morning. It's never going to change. You're never going to change your mind about us, Lord Jesus. We can turn our backs on you, Lord, but you'll never turn our backs on us. We love you, Jesus. We bless you. We honor you. We love you.